Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. So welcome back to another edition of Trending, presented by Omaha, the show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And I am not here with a casual guy today. I am here in the middle of a jam-packed sports week with one of my friends who follows it all. It is Mr. Eddie Spaghetti. Last time out, you set a new record on this show. Do you think you can beat Sheck's record that beat yours last time?
I hope so. I did give out some bets to Dave on, I believe it was a Friday for the hockey bet. So far, I picked all the home teams, the whole teams have won in both the NHL and the NBA. So right now, I feel like I'm off to a kind of a good start. So hopefully.
Well, I felt really good going into the NBA weekend. I was way up on the week, and then the Pacers kicked me square in the nuts, and so did the Nuggets. And so I'm trying to learn from those, build on it for the next time. Mark did beat me 19-15, but I think we're going to have a great competition because this is the week, Eddie. I mean, outside of like that weird window in October where kind of all four sports are going at the same time, this is a four-sport week. It's one of the few that we have the entire year. So we're going to be doing a lot of hockey today, but we're going to change our schedule a little bit this week. We're going to go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, so we can make sure we hit the NFL draft really hard before that first round. So your guy follows college, you follow the hockey, you follow NBA, you follow Major League Baseball. It is everything that is happening this week is going on at once, and we are going to dig into puck today. I know you are particularly excited about this because it is your favorite sport, and your Rangers are one of the favorites.
Yeah, it's been usually this week is terrible. It's like hell week because you get, especially last year, because last year the Rangers did play the Devils, a local rival, and they lost that series. This year, the Rangers kind of had the target on their back. They are the President's Trophy winner. They had the most points in the NHL this season, probably the best season, regular season in Rangers franchise history. So I felt pretty good about it. I know that there are the couple teams like trying to fight for that last seed in the East between the Capitals, the Penguins, the Detroit Red Wings, and the Philadelphia Flyers. I am pretty pleased with the Capitals. Obviously, the Rangers did win game one, but I just felt like this Washington Capitals team is not where they were a few years back. Alex Ovechkin is not the player he once was. He's just pretty much sticking around just to break Wayne Gretzky's goal record. Not a lot of talent on there. They're a team that plays pretty low scoring, like to block some shots, and that's like kind of been their MO all year long. And you got to give credit to, you know, Spencer Carberry, their head coach, who got them into the playoffs. I know that Penguins team and Sheck's, you know, very upset about it. They were coming on strong because they were just pretty much being carried by Sidney Crosby. But I'm thrilled with this matchup because I hate to say this, and it's not normally like me because I get nervous over everything when it comes to the Rangers, but this has been the most stress-free first round matchup I've had in a while. I know there's been some talk, could the Caps be the worst team to ever make the playoffs? I'm not going to go that far. That's like years and years and years of history, but it is pretty good. I think it's a really bad matchup for the Caps, and I hope the Rangers for once can win a short series, win this in 4 or 5, wrap it up, get some rest, and then move on to the, you know, probably the Hurricanes, which is a terrible, I mean, what a stupid matchup. But the top two teams in the East with points wise to play each other in the second round is just absolutely insane, but it is what it is.
Yeah, Spencer got a lot of love this week in the Washington Post here locally in D.C., and he should. Like, they had a 6% chance preseason to make the playoffs. They get through at the end. This is definitely the definition of kind of gravy for a hockey team right now. Give him something to build on with all the young kids, and being a first-year coach, achieving what he did, I think, is pretty phenomenal. But you've already started to get into futures here a little bit, Eddie, and so let's just pull on that thread for just 1 second. Rangers are plus 550. Carolina is plus 500. They are destined for a clash in the next two in the next round. Would you touch either one of those right now? Like, are you thinking you're better off in the hockey playoffs just betting series to series, or is there any team where you would actually lock into the future?
There's no team that I would lock in. I mean, I don't personally bet on my teams, especially my hockey teams. I do like the Rangers a lot. I feel like the Rangers have had the Hurricanes number. The Hurricanes are a team that were, you know, this year and for a few seasons, the analytical darling. The NHL media just is obsessed with them, kind of like they are with the Maple Leafs and the Oilers. But what are the common thread between those teams? They don't really get count when it's done. Like, they don't get the job done when they need to. They did make a really good move, bring in Jake Gensel from, you know, Sheck's Penguins. They're a good team. I just think if you go position by position, the Rangers may be a little bit deeper. They have a better goaltender, obviously, with Igor Shesterkin. So I do like the Rangers. I know the Rangers, you know, they're kind of neck and neck or close to them right now and the odds for the to win the cup. But I don't think it's just too, you know, even the Bruins kind of like I think after last year what happened with the Bruins that people soured on them. I just think there's too many good teams in the East to just be like, yep, let's lock in one of those two. The Panthers as well. They were made the cup last year for a reason. So there's still a handful of really good teams. And then I think the West, personally, I do like the Stars. But, you know, seeing what Winnipeg did last night versus the Avalanche is insane because I think that team is more of a defensive-minded team with a great goaltender and Connor Hellebuyck, yet they scored 7 goals. So it's like if they could do both those things, that'll be pretty damn tough to beat. So there's just too many really, really good teams. This is one of the most prolific offensive NHL regular seasons ever. So it's just too hard to predict. There's not just like one or two teams that are like a head and shoulders above the rest. There's a lot of good teams in the same group.
Yeah, you brought up the one team that kind of intrigues me a little bit, right? Because Boston is plus 1,100 right now to hoist the cup. And I don't know if there's anything to kind of regression to the mean when the mean has been such a great regular season team for the last several years. And mm-hmm. So like, you know, like doing the allegory into college basketball, like are they Purdue and they're about to make a run? Are they what UVA was a few years ago, where they take this embarrassing loss in the first round 1 year and translates that into postseason success the next year? Is there, because hockey is a little bit more random in the playoffs, right? Like an 8-1 doesn't stop the world, like a 16-1 in college basketball, or even an 8-1 in the NBA. It's far more likely to happen. Is there any like history of a team that's been as good as the Bruins over a condensed period of time that it takes a haymaker 1 year and then comes back and wins it the next year?
I think the Bruins are built to come back this year. The teams I mentioned I liked a lot besides my team, bringing up the Bruins, bringing up the Winnipeg Jets, bringing up the Dallas Stars. The common thread is that these teams all have really good goaltenders. The Bruins have two themselves, and they're built from the pipes up. They built the team like how I would, which is strong defensively, and I have a lot of forward depth, and I have forward depth that they play, you know, a 200-foot game. So I just, you know, Hench, you know, of -3 was texting back and forth and just saying, you know, oh, I'm not touching the Bruins. And the Maple Leafs are a bad matchup. And I just, you know, I could not be less interested in the Maple Leafs. I understand Austin Matthews, 69 goals this year. That team is so top heavy and they're just so bad defensively. And I think it's a matchup nightmare versus the Bruins, who could either use Ullmark or Swayman in net. Swayman started game one, won that one. And when the Bruins are scoring, like, well, they have like 2 or 3 goals from their fourth line, like, you're not going to beat a team that could score in the fourth line, just like the Rangers did too. When you have really good depth in the playoffs and you're not just relying on your top six or even your power play unit or even just your top line, that, you know, you're spreading the minutes out equally. I think that is a huge advantage. So I'm very bullish on the Bruins this year. I think they're a scary team because of their depth and how sound defensively they are, with a ton of all-stars on that team. So the roster, even though they did lose some pieces from last year and they didn't have the magical season again, a lot of guys like from last year's roster did really step up this year. Charlie Coyle, to name one. So even losing, you know, Patrice Bergeron, who was their captain for years and years and years and one of the most underrated players in NHL history, at least of this generation, guys kind of took the mantle from him. And I really do like this roster.
Yeah, and look, if they're able to avoid Carolina and New York in the second round, if you have a plus 1,100 ticket right now, then you have a chance to go against it as you get into the finals of both the conference and the whole thing. So that's the future that it kind of that I gravitated towards. But Eddie, another thing I wanted to ask you, like whenever we get down to the Super Bowl, there's a whole lot of discussion about MVP versus money line, right? Like, hey, don't bet the Chiefs at -110. Just bet Patrick Mahomes to be the MVP at +130, +140, whatever it might be, because of the frequency that a quarterback like Mahomes would win that if the Chiefs won the title. Does the Conn Smythe have any sort of correlation like that? Or is the Conn Smythe far more random of who it might go to over the course of the playoffs?
I don't think, yeah, I would, you know, trying to think of like what teams, depending on which team makes it and usually wins the cup, will get the Conn Smythe. I believe last year was it Marchessault on Vegas. I know if the Rangers, for example, if they win the cup, I would personally feel like it's going to come to one or two players. Like, it's going to go to Bredman or it's going to go to Igor. If Igor has to shut out even one game or holds another game to like one goal or less, I just feel like they're going to give it to the goalie because of how consistently good he has been. And if you just go by roster roster by roster. I just feel like that's kind of like what's going to happen for each team. If you have a superstar player, they'll probably look that way. It's the same that it was the Maple Leafs. They're probably going to give it to Austin Matthews because he's just a prolific goal scorer. But unless you have a guy who is just like scoring out of his mind on one of the lower lines, and like when that player becomes a household name, kind of, you know, Marc Gessault is a good example of that from last year, then that's kind of the guy you can give it to. So I think it's more random in the sense that if that happens, you can give it to that guy. But I think if you have a team that's loaded and they're winning series in short, you know, 4 or 5 games, and it's because of their stars, then they're going to give it to one of the two stars. And you quick look, even at the Smythe odds, like Connor McDavid's the favorite, and I don't foresee Connor McDavid making to the finals. So it's like putting that is insanity.
But would you rather have McDavid at plus 1,000 than the Oilers at plus 675?
I think if they did make it, McDavid probably will get it because the sheer amount of minutes he makes. But like looking at the list too, like Pasternak is plus 1,800 on the Bruins. I think if the Bruins make it there, I think Pasta's a great value bet because he's a prolific goal scorer and he's a guy they can give it to. I just don't foresee, like, they have Gensel, same odds as him on Carolina. I don't think there's a shot in hell that Jake Gensel is going to get it from the Hurricanes. Like, I just don't see that happening. So I think if I had to pick a player, I think goalie is the way to go. Like Ottinger's probably has really good odds for Dallas if they get there. So I would look at those guys, Igor, any of the high-end goalies. If Winnipeg makes a run with Hellebuck, I think he's another guy I would put money on to win the Conn Smythe. So I'd feel better with the goalie than a skater.
Igor plus 2,000 versus the Rangers at plus 550 becomes an interesting way to kind of back the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So Eddie, when I'm betting NBA playoffs, obviously there's differentiation between the regular season in very obvious ways, such as defensive intensity and shortened rotations and things like that. When you get into the prop market for the NHL and you get into the playoffs, how should we think of the differences between playoff hockey and regular season hockey when it comes to individual bets? Does it affect things like shots on goals? Do the overtime rules lead to more points and assists because it has to end that way? And therefore, you kind of can look at some advantages there. Or guys like getting more ice time than they would during the regular season, and therefore some of their counting stats may go up. Well, how should a handicapper look at this to try to take advantage of the delta between playoffs and regular season?
Yeah, I think the teams, what normally happens is there are some teams that could roll four lines. There's some teams that can't. I think, especially because you want to get your best players on the ice to get a goal. And, you know, if you watch that game one of Rangers Caps, there was a point where the broadcast team, although I did watch the local broadcast, but they did say that, you know, that Peter Laviolette was putting Artemi Panarin he was double shifting basically. If you want to bet on those guys, like either they're over their shot totals or even just a point or, you know, a point and a half, whatever it may be, I think it's a safe bet to bet the star players overs on stuff because they usually do shorten the benches or like the third and fourth line will get less time. And another big thing too is like, and this is like a weird common misconception, kind of with the President's Trophy curse, which is no real curse. And then they say that the referees like kind of, they swallow the whistle in the playoffs. That is not true. Like they called a ton of penalties in that game, a ton of penalties and a bunch of other games. I think they swallow the whistle when it goes to overtime in the playoffs. That's probably for certain, unless you're like drawing blood, you're not going to see a penalty call. But I think during the games, I think like on an average, they call more penalties in a playoff game than a regular season game. So I think, and that, what does that mean? That means that on the power play unit, your best players are playing there. So again, like overs on there, because their ice time will increase. And I think that means over on their shots, over on their point totals is probably the way I would look at it. But again, there are some teams that do try to still keep that regular season model of playing, all 12 forwards. The Bruins are a team that do that. The Carolina Hurricanes could do that. The Rangers could do that. So there's some teams that still will go against that mold. But across the board, I would feel safer. I'd say the majority, you could just start betting overs on the star players because of their increased ice time.
Okay, and I will start doing that. In fact, I got one of those coming later today. Glad to hear you confirm it early. So, Eddie, we got to get to today's picks, but are there any future picks that you care to talk about? Any series picks that you want to give out, the one you feel confident in, number of games or just a winner? Anything? I mean, obviously, we talked about how you didn't want to get out the cup, but Caesars has just a massive number of futures available right now. Is there any that jumped out at you that you want to share with the listeners?
I think, you know, I did get the game that happened last night. I'm not just saying this because the Jets are up 1-0, and I can just give out bets that I don't think Dave on the minus three graphic we put out there. I'm not sure if this made the graphic, but I did like the Bruins, and I did like the Winnipeg Jets to both win their series. I'm sure the odds have changed now from when I originally gave it out, but I promise you, listeners, I have it in text, and I have it potentially on a graphic or a tweet somewhere that I did like these. And I know a lot of people were those series. The reason why I gave those two out was because I felt like, across the board, either, you know, on an NHL media and whatnot, that the Leafs Bruin series was a pretty much close to a coin flip. And then the same thing goes for the Jets and the Avs, even though the Jets were the higher seed, but people just are in love with the Colorado Avalanche. Why? I mean, it's not hard to be. Nathan McKinnon's probably going to win the Hart Trophy. Guy had 140 plus points, whereas the leading point getter on the Winnipeg Jets was Mark Scheifele with, I think, like 72 or 76. So, like, less than, I mean, literally half the amount of points as Nathan McKinnon. They're just not a very prolific offensive team. But I did like the Jets for a number of reasons, and I did like the Bruins for a number of reasons, kind of like I stated. So those are the two of the series that I did like that were the coin flip ones.
So Jets in 4, 5, or 6 is plus number. So 4, 5, or 6, Jets win the series plus 120. You getting on that now? Even if you couldn't get back and get the preseason.
They're already up 1-0, and I think they can win this in 6. I think the way they won the game last night, don't get used to that. But I think this team is built more to win games like 2-1. Just have Helly Buckstan in his head, which is tough. I don't understand. People are gonna go, "You're crazy." The Avalanche offense is great, but the Avalanche have been pretty bad defensively lately as well. And if they're gonna cash in on the poor goaltending on Georgiev on Colorado's side, and they did a great job of that last night, I will take the plus money, and I think the Jets could win this in 6.
And Rangers minus 2.5, so they win in 4 or 5. That's minus 160. You swallowing that juice?
I think that I would be shocked if, just seeing how the Rangers limited the Caps to not many shots whatsoever in like 2 of the 3 periods, and how the Rangers kind of took over the portion of that game. I think the game flow was so bad too, but for the amount of penalties they called in the first period, that game would have looked a little bit different. Igor really wasn't tested. I think I probably would, and I'd be shocked if this goes more than 5.
All right. Well, Eddie's got an entire slate of hockey picks ready for you, so let's not burn them out too early. Let's go ahead and hear from Caesars, and then come back and get into tonight's action.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, We know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, we are back. And as I mentioned, Eddie set a record against me the last time out. So he did take home the W. And I am going to go ahead and give him honors as a result. So, Eddie, I know it's all hockey for you today. You can weigh on some of the picks I'm making the other sports, because I know you were dialed into all sports this weekend. But where are you starting us out on the ice?
Yeah, this is the heart bet. And this one is the heart bet. The definition is something close to my heart. A team that... Well, and I guess the negative part of my heart is the Islanders, who I root against. They are a rival of the Rangers. But weirdly, I kind of need them or want them to extend the series to make it a tougher series on the Carolina Hurricanes, who the Rangers are going to have to get the winner of this series in the next round if they do advance. Obviously, heavy favorite of the Hurricanes to win this series. And the Islanders did keep it close for a large portion of that game. I think in the regular season, they were 2-1-1. The Hurricanes are 2-1-1 against the Islanders, but only one of those games was kind of a large gap, goal difference. So I think the Islanders' style of play, whether they're going to put in Varlamov in net or they're going to put in Sorokin, they're a team that just, like, they're going to grind you down. There's not a lot of high skill in that team outside of maybe Barzal and Bo Horvat, but they're going to just keep it, block shots and just play a full 200-foot game defensive style. And it's tough to do versus the Hurricanes, who are very talented both offensively and defensively, and they got some really good goaltending in that first game. But I am going to lean Islanders plus the goal and a half. It's minus 130. I think they'll be within striking distance in this game. I think they kind of saw how the Canes are going to play, and they'll keep it close. They are just a tough team to play. Like, they give the Rangers fits too. They give everyone in the East fits, because they just, it's not kind of the style that we see. I said before, this is probably the most prolific offensive season we've seen. We saw two guys with 100 assists this year, with Kucherov and Connor McDavid. And Connor McDavid missed a portion of the season, which is just shows how amazing he is. But this and McKinnon too, with almost 150 points. It's just, that's not how the Islanders play. So I just think, playoff style, they took game one on the chops, and they're going to come back game two strong and win this one. So I cannot believe I'm doing this. Like I said, it's tugging at my heartstrings, which is why I have to go with the heart bet here, Islanders plus the goal and a half.
Yeah, rooting against yourself tonight, that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. So for my heart pick, Eddie, I'm riding the spaghetti-sance all day long. Like, you are in New York right now. You're taping from your bedroom. Your Yankees are flying high. Your Rangers are the best team in hockey. You have the NFL draft coming this week to hopefully get the Giants some chance. But then you also have maybe, like, the best crowd in all of sports right now rocking at MSG with the Knicks. And so I'm going with a two-team moneyline parlay. We'll start with the Knicks, and we're going to add the Nuggets. You put them together, it's minus 105. So not only do they have MSG, which is basically like playing 6-on-5, they also have Embiid having to make a quick turnaround on 2 days instead of 3 days, like so many other teams are getting in this first game. And the idea that the Sixers have to play 6-on-5 versus the MSG crowd, it might be down to 4.5 as Embiid kind of like drags his legs through the second half, makes this look like it's going to be 2-0 heading back to Philly. Now, Embiid is good enough. At some point, he's going to rise up and he's going to win one of these games by himself. And we're going to be reminded of what a beast he is and how good the Sixers might be next year. But I'm willing to bet that's not going to happen on the road, and that the MSG crowd and this resurgent Knicks team, who seem to be like one of the best loved teams by a fan base right now, like New Yorkers seem all the way in on the Knicks, will take care of it at home. On the other leg, I just do not see how Anthony Davis and LeBron recover in time to throw another like giant punch at the Nuggets, especially when they did exactly that in game one and they couldn't knock the Nuggets out. You do not want to count one of LeBron is either GOAT 1A or 1B, depending wherever you want to come down on the Jordan debate. Like, he's one of the best to ever live. So you don't want to count him out entirely. But this Nuggets team might also be in the midst of an all-time run, like a Warriors-esque run. And they just absorbed the best the Lakers had on 4 days rest. Now the Lakers have to come back and try to do it on two. I don't see it happening. I actually looked at adjusting this up, like taking the 7.5 to like 11 or 12 and see what those odds are. But out of respect for LeBron, instead I'm adding in the Knicks. And just for both teams to get the W tonight.
This is the easiest tale, I think, in the history of me doing trendy. This is the heart. This is the Josh Hart bet. Maybe Brett could change it on the graphic. But quickly first back on the Nuggets Lakers. I mean, yeah, the Nuggets have dominated the Lakers. I think they haven't. What is it, like eight straight or nine straight eight game wins. I mean, unbelievable. I'm totally with you on this Nuggets dynastic sort of run they may be going on here. I don't want to get into this debate, but you know, it's a thing where Jokic probably deserves more love than he gets. I'm not sure if that's because where he was born, and I understand the kind of the you know, the cultural difference of a guy that's from overseas. And he probably should have won the MVP over Joel Embiid, but you can make the argument Embiid probably should have won a different one, whatever. He's just a total beast. And, you know, credit to LeBron too for, you know, he's kind of pulling the Sidney Crosby in the NHL of carrying the team on his back. But this Denver Nuggets team is just too good. I did watch that game. And back to my Knicks, I mean, it's just so easy to root for this team. They remind me so much of the team when I was a little toddler, the mid-90s Knicks with Mace and Oak and Ewing and Starks. It's kind of the same thing where instead of your superstar being the center and Patrick Ewing, the superstar now is Jalen Brunson, who is a bona fide superstar, and getting like the play, Josh Hart just being as good as he is. And I don't know, but I mean, locking it down, can hit a three when you need to. And you brought up Embiid, and I think the Knicks' original plan was to use Hartenstein more against him, but we saw how good Mitchell Robinson was against Embiid. Yeah. Like, I mean, his numbers, he was giving him fits. And I know that he's injured. I think trying to force him back, I shouldn't say force, but trying to rehab or get through an injury in the playoffs is never smart. And you could tell that he is not 100%, and he did re-injure himself kind of in the game and was out for a bit. So I think the Knicks may adjust, and they're going to keep Mitchell Robinson on him for a while, which is, I mean, I'm not going to say it's his kryptonite. I probably do agree with you that he will have a dominant 40-plus point game and probably win one, most likely in Philly. But right now, the Garden is rocking. The Garden is eating. It's just like Josh Hart hitting that three at the end of the game. The place was like going to start another earthquake. So I'm with you completely on this Knicks team. They are fired up. And like Tom Thibodeau in the age of load management, and he is like the anti-load management guy. He like grinds them out, but they must love him because they're playing really well for him. So that this, like I said, is the easiest tale for me in the history of trendy.
Dude, I mean, you were saying before you went on the air, you never come back to New York in the spring. You come back closer to the holiday season. Mm-hmm. What a spring in New York. What, I mean, I like, this is unbelievable right now.
Have you seen all those similarities between the spring of 94 and this year, like with the OJ stuff? Obviously the him on the 405 happens, and he just passed away the spring of 94. Yeah. To 2024, then we had the solar eclipse. They had a spring solar eclipse the same kind of like month that we did here, and then there was another weird one that yesterday, the Mets lost by 10 runs to the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium, and back on the same day, April 21st, 1994, the Mets lost by 10 runs to the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium. Obviously, the Rangers won the President's Trophy both seasons, so a lot of weird similarities. Both teams are really good. I mean, I'm not one to believe in that kind of stuff, but man, if they like capped off the season with the cup and the same similarities, it would just be unbelievable.
All right, well, see if you got another bed there for me. I want to come up and be and just soak into the environment right now. What a place to be.
It's awesome.
All right, what do you have in the head category?
So for my head category here, I talked a little about the Bruins before. I'm just not a big believer in the Maple Leafs because the Maple Leafs' lack of depth. They do have some injuries to Nylander. Austin Matthews is fantastic. Obviously love an American-born player. American-born player who moved to Scottsdale in Arizona when he was an infant. He's like single-handedly going to make hockey a big deal in that state, hopefully, as the team is exiting to Utah. But they're just not enough for the Bruins. The Bruins could roll out four lines. They're good defensively. They may switch goalies to Omar, which I don't love. If Swayman just won that game one, you got to keep riding him. Well, you could probably reassess it after he loses. But Bruins, given the goal and a half plus 185, obviously they're going to be home. They're going to be fired up. The crowds, I think they're a little more relieved to see how well they handled the Leafs in game one, because obviously the Leafs came out firing and they scored five or six goals. You'd be like, oh no, this is a matchup nightmare for us. But I just think if I was coaching a team or building a team and you want to win the playoffs, the number one thing I care about is building from the pipes up, having depth, and having responsible forwards defensively. And I think the Bruins have all that, and the Toronto Maple Leafs don't. They're just trying to ride the you know, the star power of Auston Matthews, and it's just not going to be enough for a really seasoned veteran Bruins team.
Yeah, this is an easy tale for me as well. You always give out your easy tale. This was an easy tale for me. I actually had this written down, and then you sent your picks over, so I re-raced it and decided to tell you instead. Like, I like the idea of a team that lost in such embarrassing fashion last year, coming back the next year, being more mentally prepared, being more dedicated to not letting it happen again, having shown their skill and mental acuity during the regular season by grinding out another great year. Like, I like the Bruins a lot in this postseason, and if I can get them tonight at a nice plus number, I'd be foolish not to do it.
Yep. And it's just one of those things, like, not that we're all locked into watching, you know, what is it, like Sportsnet Canada, or just, you know, all these NHL, these coverage shows, but it's just weird how the Bruins just don't get a lot of love. And it's reversed for the Leafs. It's like, you would think the Leafs are the best team of all time because of Matthews' goal total, but they have a lot of flaws. And I just think that we should probably celebrate the teams more that are built this way, even though it's kind of more boring for TV, but I think they are the better team.
5-1 in the opener. Don't even need half of that in the second one. I'll take 5-3. I'll take 4-2. I'll take any of them that gets us the cash. So over in my head category, just diving straight into numbers here, Eddie, and using a little bit of your own logic. Let's start with the baseball leg of this. Oh, I guess I should announce it. It's Nicky Lopez under 1.5 bases and Victor Arvidsson over 2.5 shots a goal at plus 167. Nicky Lopez of the White Sox, Eddie, has zero extra base hits on the year and has zero multi-hit games this year. So you know how many times he's cleared 1.5 bases? That would be zero, making this leg 100% on the season. I will take my chances that nobody on the White Sox breaks out tonight, because that team is truly dreadful, and I will be fading them on Trendy over and over again in different ways. For the second leg, listening to my old pal Eddie Spaghetti's advice on best hockey props to bet when it comes to predictability, you take shots on goal, which is a little bit easier to predict, and then you add in the playoffs where these guys are going to get a little bit more ice times, and I like him to clear over 2.5 because he's already done it in 80% of games this year, including 9 of the last 10, and the Kings are absolutely going to need him and the rest of their best players to pepper the net to keep up with the high-flying Oilers. So I want to see if I can hit both of these bets a little bit blind, following the numbers at a nice plus 167.
Yeah, just to add on to that second portion there, usually Arvidsson's on that. Like, the top six, you're going to get a ton of minutes. He's usually on that second line centered by Phil Deneau there. And you kind of, it's weird how this game is going to be dictated more by the Oilers' offense, which means that the Kings are going to have to shoot the puck. The Kings are a team I thought would, they had a bad stretch during the season. I thought they're going to be a lot better than what they were. I feel like every single year that, like, since Connor McDavid's come in the league, that they played the Kings in the first round of the playoffs. I actually attended a game last year. I'm gonna hopefully when I come back to LA in a week or a half or so, I'll be maybe seeing one of these games, because it's always a treat to see Connor McDavid. But because of him, and because of how good that Oilers power play is, and obviously, like, they're just the prolific offensive team, the Kings are gonna have to shoot the puck to score. And it's a little tease to a bet I have in this game later on, but I think you're spot on with the analysis here, just because you're gonna see a lot of totals, a lot of overs on point totals and shot totals.
All right. Well, you don't like the overs for the next line. For your heater, you're playing unders. Which ones are they?
Well, my heater, I'm going Caps Rangers. I feel safe enough with my team to give out this bet, because I'm not picking them to win or anything like that. It has to just do with the goal totals in this game. We saw what happened in game one, and we saw, you know, most across the board, I looked, you know, skimmed quickly. I know, like, the talking about the Kings Oilers game, I think their total is 6. There are a lot of 5.5s. I just like the unders in this series because of kind of what I was saying before. Number one, the play of Igor Shesterkin. When you have a legit goaltender like he is, like, probably the best in the league, he's going to, you know, keep pucks out of his own net. And I have to say, you know, Charlie Lindgren on the cap side is an underrated goaltender. The Rangers did eventually get to him in that game, but they won it 4-1, which is 5. So if you're seeing the 5.5, 6s, I think it's going to kind of be where it is. I wouldn't even be shocked too if the Rangers start winning games like 3-1 or 3-0, whatever. Mm-hmm. The Caps kind of sell out to protect the house. They're going to block a lot of shots. They want to do that. The Rangers will eventually get to them, which they did. But I just think that because, you know, there was a stretch too in the Caps season where they didn't win a game by scoring like three goals or more in like over a month. Like they're just not built to score that way. And I did get a pretty funny text from Kevin Hench, who I brought up before, that he said, you know, your team's in trouble when Matt Rempe has more goals than Alexander Ovechkin has shots. So, you know, the grade eight is struggling this. And if he's not really getting things going, it's going to be hard for them to score goals. And the Rangers are very disciplined and very good in the penalty kill. So it's another negative towards the Caps offense. So basically what I'm saying is the culmination of Charlie Lindgren being good enough and the Rangers, having Igor Shesterkin in net and the Caps just lack of offensive production and the Caps willingness to just sell out to block shots and keep it a low scoring game. I think you're going to see a lot of games under that 5.5-6 goal total mark.
Well, it gives a little more credence to taking Igor at the plus 2,000, right? Because if he has a great first series, the Conn Smythe, unlike the Super Bowl, is a playoff long award, and it'll have some pretty stacked stats heading into the second round. For my heater, I am doing something similar, but instead of doing just one series like you're doing, Eddie, I am taking the under on whatever is the highest NBA line of the night. And so I just see in the playoffs right now, the difference between this and the regular season, the struggles that guys are having in the shot making aspect of the game particularly. And like these games aren't even close to the totals. Unders are 6-2 on the weekend, and 5 of the 6, they missed the under by double digits. It was all 4 games on Sunday. And if you extend it to the play-ins, it's 10-4. So unders are a heavy trend right now. We'll see if that reverses. We'll see if they adjust the lines fast enough to account for this trend, but it's always hard to adjust the totals too much because people are naturally over betters. And so like, if you're trying to set this on both sides of the line, as these more high profile games come into the playoffs, you naturally are tending to keep the line a little bit high because people like to bet overs instead of unders, even though the fact that overs make friends and unders, Eddie, make money. Tonight that falls to the Lakers and Nuggets. It's 224 tonight. And it's minus 110 at Caesars. And 224 is a lot for this particular game for some of the reasons we already talked about. Like, guys are going to be dragging a little bit more up and down the court coming off of 2 days rest. Anthony Davis looked absolutely spent. LeBron looked spent. Their best chance is trying to limit the possessions in these games, take it deep into the clock, keep the pace way down, and try to, you know, have variants of threes kick in to win in a low possession game. And so 224 is a lot for any game, particularly for this game. And if it's a blowout, like if it's 120-90 or whatever it might be, we're not going to see a lot of pressing for scoring at the end. They're going to be dribbling out the clock and just trying to get back to LA.
I'm assuming that every night the Kings and Lakers play, at least throughout the remainder of the series, that they'll be the highest total going forward, at least out of the West.
Probably, yeah, out of the West. I mean, tomorrow night it's the Pacers game, and so I've got the Pacers Bucks, tomorrow Pacers. Night. Yep. So yeah, Bucks Pacers, another reason I like this with Giannis out. Dame can't continue to I'll give all this analysis again tomorrow, but Dame can't continue to repeat this. And so they're gonna have a similar total, and I like their under as a result.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of that. I think that's going to work. And I did watch that game, and we'll get into it more tomorrow. But I'm with you completely. Dame, I just feel like he couldn't miss last night. So that definitely will change. And I'm with you on these.
All right. Yeah, see if Dame halftime can happen again. Mm-hmm. All right, that just leaves us down to our money pick. Which one do you have the most confidence in? So you're putting down 2 units, Eddie.
So I told you I had a bet later on in the show about this series matchup, and you had the Arvidsson bet there, and I kind of hit on a little bit, but I'm going cred pick here. It has to be the over 6 goals. It's plus 100 Kings Oilers. These teams meet up each other quite a bit. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Kane, I mean, Nugent Hopkins, just keep going. They have just so much offensive firepower. And the Kings aren't, you know, they aren't so bad themselves, too, with obviously Kopitar and Kempe and all those dudes. But they're gonna need to score. I think that every you know, these teams are not known for their defensive play. The Kings especially have flipped around different goaltenders here and there. Korpisalo was in net for quite a bit. Now he's moved on, and they just haven't really found the guy. And the same kind of goes for the whole defensive squad of the Oilers, really. So these games are going to be like all, you know, I could see a lot of like 3-3s going into overtime. Obviously, you're going to get your overs there. I think a lot of, you know, 4-2s, maybe 4-3s or 5-3s if there's an empty netter. I think you're going to see like those are going to clinch it. And I think there's just going to be some games where there just may be a blowout, like a one-sided blowout, like a 6-1 Oilers win or something like that, because it's a lethal power play. There's really no way to defend Connor McDavid. Just his speed is unbelievable. And again, they're playing, and then a guy like Leon Draisaitl, who has been an MVP himself, like we don't see that in sports where you have two guys guys who are MVP. Obviously, one is better than the other, but like a guy that would be the best player on almost every other team in the NHL, maybe outside of like, you know, a handful. So it's just incredible to see what they could do. There is a lot of pressure on them to win this series, especially with how, you know, there was a really bad lull for the Kings, like I mentioned, and the pressure ultimately too, that like, you know, you are together, you know, you two, McDavid, Draisaitl are together, win a cup. Like, you guys are MVPs. He's the best player of the generation, may go down as one of the best players of all time. So I think between that, and they have to really just show out and show they are for real. A lot of goals in this game. I would take the over every single time they play.
Is Connor McDavid just always the answer to the question who has the most on the line in the playoffs? Because like, you're already throwing in best of his generation, maybe the best of all time, but he can't seriously be in that discussion. You can't be in that discussion in any sport, it seems like, particularly in our modern ring culture, without having to bring home a championship. So until he actually does so, will he always be the answer to which player has the most on the line come playoff time?
I'm going to give you a spicy answer here, only because this guy plays in a tougher medium market and he just signed a new deal. And I think you could also give Connor a little bit of a breather because he is playing with, like I said, another Hart Trophy winner and Leon Draisaitl. I think Auston Matthews. I think when you have almost scoring 70 goals and he's playing in Toronto, I think him being American-born too, there's a little bit of extra juice in terms of his coverage in the States. And I'm sure the coverage, and I don't know this, never been in Toronto. I can't imagine if they lose the series in four or five games with the Bruins, I can't imagine it's going to be, they're not going to be thrilled with this. And I think that fan base could turn on him in a way that Edmonton is kind of just like, we're just happy to have McDavid. We don't want to get rid of him. And it shouldn't be all on him. I think it's a big failure in terms of Edmonton's front office by not getting him a legitimate goaltender or not getting him sound defenseman. And then that's their problem. So I would have said yes up until this season, but I think now the pressure is really mounting on Matthews as well. They did keep him. He could have left. He could have bolted for somewhere else, but he stayed here. And I think if they don't win, I think just the Maple Leafs have to have some postseason success because it's, you know, you can make the case maybe outside of Montreal, it's the toughest NHL market.
Yeah. All right. So two guys with a lot of pressure on them. For my two unit bet tonight, Eddie, I have already used the Knicks and the Nuggets, and I want no piece of the Magic's Cavs tonight. I thought game one did not look normal to me, and therefore I'm not willing to try to like look at what game two might look at. So even despite all of the action that's happening this week, I am going to regular season baseball. And it's the Braves red line, -1.5 at -102. Because, Eddie, I mean, you watch a lot of baseball. You follow the sport very closely. I am just going to continue every single day to open up my browser and say, hey, is a top five team playing a bottom five team? Okay, I'll take the run line. Because it seems like the gap between the haves and the have-nots is as wide as I remember it being in a really long time. Like, the White Sox are terrible. Yeah. The Marlins are terrible. The Rockies are terrible. The A's are terrible. I mean, terrible. And the lineups at the very top of baseball between the Dodgers and the Orioles and the Braves and the Yankees are all capable of putting up like 8-9 spots on any given day, making that run line feel really comfortable. So I was actually going to do the Yankees over the A's to continue the spaghetti sauce here, but that game first pitch is only in 40 minutes. We're not going to get this out in time. So I'm left with the Braves and the Marlins. I mean, come on, the Braves just mowed down the Astros and the Rangers, who are wildly better than the Marlins. They continue to make their case for being the best team in baseball. I'm a little nervous because Elder is making his debut tonight after being so bad in the second half of last season. But since the Braves can easily put 8 on my guy, Ryan Weathers, and I have no problem with it being like 8-6, 8-5, and them still covering. So if Elder's come out and he looks like first half Elder's last year, this is not even going to be close. And even if he looks like second half Elder, they can still score enough run to cover for me. So I dare Ryan Weathers to beat me twice on my cred bet this year. It's not going to happen. I'm taking this down at -102.
Yeah, even with losing Spencer Strider, the Braves are still a juggernaut. They're going to give every team that division fits. They're definitely in the conversation for the World Series, as always. And, you know, the flip side of that, like, I mean, it just stinks for the league to have so many bad teams. Like, I know that the White Sox were a little snake, but in terms of some injuries there too. But, like, what the Marlins are trotting out is a disgrace. What the A's are trotting out is a disgrace. The Sacramento A's. But, yeah, I mean, this Miami Marlins team is going to be, I mean, so severely under .500. They'll be in the mix too with the White Sox for the worst record in baseball. So this is just a no-brainer. Nothing else to say. I mean, besides the fact that it just stinks that, you know, you could see not maybe not in the NBA as much, but the NHL upsets happen quite a bit. The NFL, any given Sunday, people say, but like you really in a 4-game series, let's just say, like how many times could the Marlins beat a better team? Like you're not going to see that happen, and that's another reason why the MLB is struggling.
Yeah, I mean, look, like we'll talk a lot more about it in this next October, just like we did past October. Like you take an average team in the league, they can win a short series against the Dodgers or the Braves or the Yankees. Like an average team can. These lower league teams, like if the Braves and Marlins won, they're going to play 18 times this year. Sure. If the Braves aren't like 13-5, 14-4, I would be shocked. And so if I'm getting -102 on the run line, just bet it every single game of the year. Every single time, one of the best four teams plays as bottom four teams, bet the run line. And I feel good about that portfolio returning for you.
Yeah, absolutely. This does remind me of some of those NHL bets we gave out a bunch during this course of this year, with like bet against the Blackhawks, bet against the Sharks. I think a couple years back it was the Sabres you're trying to tank. The NHL and MLB are similar in that regard too, where you could just bet against these teams constantly, especially when they're playing the team that should win the NLE's crown and probably will at least be in the mix for the NLCS, if not representing the National League. So again, another black mark on baseball. These teams are terrible, and I wish that something could be done about it, but I still watch anyway.
Yeah, of course, because your Yankees are one of the Habs this year. They look particularly good. I'll probably be taking them against the A's tomorrow, so you get more chance to brag about them. Let's let our sponsors do a little bit of bragging, do our Second Guess Express, and then get you into all of this playoff action.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, Eddie, for Second Guess Express, I'll go ahead and take the floor first. And I'm just still a little bit on that Nuggets-Lakers game. And I'm going with Spencer Dinwiddie, over 3.5 points plus assists at -135. And this wasn't sexy enough to throw it in my normal picks, but it is one I feel really good about. Dinwiddie averaged 15 plus combined points of assists during the regular season. And we already talked about like playoff basketball is a little bit different, right? Like rotation shrink and things like that. So 15 is a lot for the regular season. It doesn't automatically translate to postseason success, but 3.5 is really low. Because one, he could just come into this game playing his normal like 10 to 15 minutes, hit a three and like stumble into a layup or an assist, and bam, you've got it in two possessions. Two, D'Angelo Russell could continue to be terrible, and they got to play Dinwiddie more if D'Angelo is as bad as he was in game one. He gets 20 minutes. I definitely think this is a lock. And three, if the Nuggets blow them out, like both of us think is possible, then he's also going to get 20 minutes with facing very little resistance at garbage time. And he's going to walk to, you know, like double figures in points and shooting wide open layups at the end of the game. And so I think the game state gives him just definitive pass to hit this. And even without it, like a predicted the game state, 3.5 is so low that he can just get in the normal run.
I just think no matter if it's, you know, player X needs two possessions or two trips to the foul line, and he normally plays like, you know, double digit minutes, I think you have to make that bet. I think it's a very smart bet here. And for mine, I feel like I should touch on the one series I have not talked about that is playing also tonight. The Stars Knights. I did mention I do like the Stars a lot. I would not be shocked if they have the representative from the West there. The Knights, it's weird to say because we have seen teams kind of go back to back. Or just be kind of in the mix constantly. You know, the Lightning come to mind too recently in the NHL, but with the Knights, it's just very tough. I know that Mark Stone and Alex Pietrangelo, they're practicing, going to come back, but they missed for games for a while. They're not as the Knights. I don't know if they're as strong as they were last. They don't have the same magic, and I think they're running into a Stars team that has high offensive, you know, firepower. They have Jake Ottinger and Net, who's fantastic, and some really good defensive pieces there. So my second guess express would have been just taking the Stars on the money line at home. It's kind of a coward's bet. I probably should have taken them laying the goal in half because you would get plus 185. But I do want to give some credit to the Golden Knights because Golden Knights could, I mean, again, it would be a shock if they do win this game. But I'm just going to kind of go with the trends in the NHL and just, you know, becoming this like dynastic team is quite tough. So I am going to go with the Stars since they kind of are my pick to represent the West.
All right. Well, you will also be representing -3 this week. So what do you guys have cooking on draft week over on that show?
We are back to 3 episodes. We debuted that last week, so happy for that. We are doing Kevin Hench earlier in this week, and he'll be part of shows 1 and 2. We do have a draft special coming up on one of these shows because it is draft week, talking about probably the greatest draft of all time by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Shocker that we have to talk about the Steelers again with Dave Damashek, but we'll also have a regular episode in the beginning of the week, you know, with our goat and goats and our best bets, and just talking about the first couple games of both the NBA and NHL series there. And we'll have another episode later in the week with another special guest, so it's good. It's fun times. Like you said in the beginning of the show, we have so much going on, all 4 major sports. There's so much to talk about,
man. Poor Damashek, you're flying high with the Rangers and the Knicks. Bruins and Celtics are both among the favorites, and just Damashek cuckolded in the corner trying to bring up Pirates talk. I'm gonna tune in just for that. So you'll be on for Tuesday and Thursday this week. Reminder, we are changing our schedule just a little bit. Martin and Mark Gunnels will be back with Lemon Pepper Parlay to dig into all of the basketball action tomorrow evening. And then we'll have a little bit of a soccer talk on Thursday as we look ahead into another impactful Premier League weekend. So that's what we got going on here at the Extra Points Network. Eddie will put it all together in the best of on Friday. Thank you guys so much for joining. What a great week, Eddie. I'm so glad that you're here. Everybody else, we are glad you're here as well, but go enjoy some sports. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care, everyone.